Support for WPR comes from Stone Harbor, a Door County resort and conference center with a restaurant and pub overlooking the historic Steel Bridge in Sturgeon Bay. Live music and event schedule at stoneharbor-resort.com. Support for WPR comes from The Alliance, committed to being an objective partner for over 425 employers and their brokers, providing self-funded employers with data to manage their health plans. The-Alliance.org.
Is public education under attack? Our guest this hour says yes. And we will talk about why there's a rally tonight in Madison to try to defend public education. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, May 1st. So we will talk about what you think of the state of public education during this hour. Does the voucher school program in Wisconsin, where parents get taxpayer dollars to send their kids to private schools, concern you or not? Was Act 10 a good thing or a bad thing for public education? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. The Chicago Teachers Union president and the superintendent of a Texas school district are going to rally supporters tonight because they say corporate profiteers, anti-union policies, and privatization are threatening a quality education in Wisconsin. Let me welcome our guest, one of the sponsors of the organizers of tonight's rally to defend public education, Ruth Conniff, editor of the Progressive magazine, also a regular contributor to our Week in Review programs. Ruth, good morning.
Morning, Joy.
So what's this rally all about?
Well, I'm really excited about this rally. We have launched a website at the Progressive magazine called Public School Shakedown, and we have gotten more and more involved over the last year and a half in understanding this national movement to defend public education. And, of course, here in Wisconsin, we're sort of at the center of this issue. You mentioned a few of the reasons in your run-up. Act 10 is one. Historic budget cuts to our public schools is another. And then privatization. We were the first state in the nation to try out these private school vouchers that have been in effect in Milwaukee since 1990 with not very good results. And in spite of that fact, they're being expanded into other districts around the state. So in our school choice lobby, the lobbyists representing private interests who want to see public money go into private schools are so powerful in this state, they've actually reached the spending power of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which is the largest coalition of business interests who lobby in the halls of our state capitol. So we've got this combination of forces that are putting a lot of pressure on our public school system. And this is also true around the country. All over the United States, there are groups of people, parents who are opting out of standardized tests because they don't like the way those tests are used to evaluate teachers, to label schools as failing and then close those schools and hand them over to private entities. People who feel that the budget cuts to education are really striking at the core of the sense that kids should have an opportunity to advance in society, which is part of the American dream. And people are really coming together around this. So we invited John Kuhn and Karen Lewis to come to Madison because there's a really active group of people here in the state who want to defend public schools, and because it's interesting to see people from far-flung areas of the country who are going through some of these same things, fighting the same battles, and we think it's an exciting time to put that energy together and to connect people in Wisconsin who are worried about this stuff with this national picture, this national movement.
Yeah, and what are you hoping to accomplish with the rally tonight?
Well, for one thing, I saw Karen Lewis and John Kuhn speak in Austin, Texas, at a big conference. It was the first conference of the Network for Public Education organized by Diane Ravitch, who you probably know was mm-hmm. a Bush administration assistant education secretary who, after she really dug down and researched No Child Left Behind and was part of implementing that law, decided that it was a bad idea and that actually there is this fundamental shift going on. We're abandoning the idea of a public school system that serves each child, that's available to everybody, And instead moving to this competitive model with winners and losers, and the losers are people who have historically been losers in our society. They're the poor. So she organized this national conference in Austin, and Karen Lewis, who's the dynamic leader of the Chicago Teachers Union and led the big strike in Chicago this past year, and John Kuhn, who is management, he's not labor, he's a superintendent in the district in Texas, gave a joint keynote address. And as Karen Lewis pointed out, you know, she's black, he's white, she's Jewish, he's a former Christian missionary, she's labor, he's management, but they share this perspective that public education is this core value in America and that we're really undoing the idea of public education with this privatization push. And so they gave this great speech, and I thought this has got to come to Wisconsin because we are really dealing with these same issues here, and people should know that all over the country there are other folks who've experienced this stuff and be able to learn from what's happening in other places. I think that Karen Lewis provides a great example to the teachers in Madison and in Wisconsin because she made that strike, the Chicago teacher strike, and the other people who were part of that, a community issue. And it was really an issue about quality education, about resisting school closures, about having, you know, a community school and defending this democratic institution. And I think too often lately, teachers unions get a bad rap for sort of defending themselves against the interests of the child. And the fact that having good pay and good benefits and good classroom conditions for teachers is also linked to quality education and what's happening for children, I think, is a really important point. And it's important for people to be able to put that out there and for teachers and parents and students to see themselves on the same side of this issue.
Ruth, what is behind the shift from, you know, supporting our public schools to the cuts in the private schools and anti-union policies? What's behind this?
I think one of the things that's behind it is a very deliberate campaign by right-wing think tanks like the Bradley Foundation, which has spent $30 million over 10 years to say that public schools are failing. And this mantra, the idea that public schools are failing, has so sunk in that we hear it all the time. We've sort of become inured to it. And the truth is, our public schools in Wisconsin are not actually failing. We have some of the best public schools in the country. And so you begin with this, you know, this very coordinated message, public schools are failing, and the solution to that failure is a business model. So we want to bring in private companies. We want to undo the idea of this community democratic institution that we all contribute to, that we all have a stake in. And instead, we want to give people a chunk of change and tell them to, you know, go see what they can purchase for themselves. And in Milwaukee, where the voucher program started, we've seen the results of that, which is a voucher students do not perform any better than their public school peers when you control for socioeconomic data. They're scoring poorly on the WKCE statewide tests of math and reading. You see private companies, you see these little fly-by-night operators like the Life Skills Academy, which closed in the middle of the night. It was a little storefront operation, voucher school in Milwaukee. The couple took millions of dollars from the state of Wisconsin in education funds, and they fled to Florida, and those kids don't have a school now. So, you know, you see these private companies moving in. There's money to be made in education. If you are K-12 Inc., for example, an online education company, and you come into a state and you get a law passed that says that you deserve to have public funds, you don't have bricks and mortar schools, you don't have staff like janitors and lunch ladies, you don't have a football team or, you know, school musical, you take that same amount of money per student that a school that has all those things takes, and you run this online program across the state. So, you know, that's why K-12 Inc. is able to make hundreds of millions of dollars in states around the country offering an online program that is a poor alternative to a real public school.
We are talking with Ruth Conniff, editor of the Progressive Magazine, one of the organizers of tonight's rally to defend public education in Madison. It begins at 7 o'clock at the Monona Terrace in Madison. There's also a networking session from 5:30 to 6:45 p.m. The event is free and open to the public. And we welcome your input. Do you have hopes or fears about public education in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson, asking for your support of the programs you enjoy, because it's your support that makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible.
And Joy, when people pledge today, they'll be entered to win an iPad Air. We're going to have a drawing. Now's a great time to support programs you value at WPR. Go to WPR.org or call us, 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 27 listeners. Thank you so much for those pledges. This hour, we have a goal of 55. These hourly goals are important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on Wisconsin Public Radio. Take a moment now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
One of the cool things about the Ideas Network is that here's where you'll hear from the person who wrote the bill, who wrote the book, who has unique expertise. And we're happy to seek these people out and get them on the show. Privileged, in fact. But it's your support that makes it possible. Make great radio happen right now with your pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
It's really easy to give to WPR. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount. You decide, maybe $10 a month.
Well, and that donation comes back to you every day in the form of great programs. What a deal. Show your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
Makes me feel very good to be a sustainer.
Makes me feel like I'm a part of what's happening.
I know it's a valuable service.
I like being a sustainer because it helps contribute to the Wisconsin idea.
I like being a sustainer because I just like knowing that my money will be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio for years to come.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Joy Cardine with John Munson asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this spring membership drive. Your gift can be $5 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month. You decide. We appreciate and we count on every single gift.
And remember, everyone who pledges today is going to be entered in a drawing for an iPad Air. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. You could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You don't have to pledge to participate. Send a postcard with your, I'm going to do this really fast, your name, address, email, telephone number to WPR iPad Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. So send a postcard, or better yet, make your pledge right now and be automatically entered into that iPad Air drawing at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Were you auditioning for a late night infomercial there?
Yes.
Okay. Good job.
That's not all.
Yeah, that's right. But wait, there's more. We need 54 pledges in the next 36, 37 minutes or so. Please make yours the next one at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, we do also, that's not all, have a special thank you gift for your pledge during this hour. You can ask for this year's artist mug illustrated by Renee Gray from Cedarburg, Wisconsin. It's a delightful design of cartoon animals making and listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. It's yours for a pledge of $150, $12.50 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks very much, John. Talk to you later. We are talking about public education and whether or not public education is under attack. Our guest says it most definitely is. And public education activists are scheduled to gather in Madison tonight at 7 o'clock at the Monona Terrace to rally for public schools. Our guest says that corporate profiteers, anti-union policies, and privatization are an attack on quality public education and the nation's children. And we wonder what you think. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. One of the speakers tonight will be the president of the Chicago Teachers Union, Karen Lewis. And she, Ruth Conniff, was quoted as saying, When will there be an honest conversation about the poverty, racism, and inequality that hinders the delivery of a quality education product in our school system? How do Lewis's words apply to Wisconsin, do you think?
Well, I think one of the things that's really interesting about Karen Lewis, she's an African-American woman, and she's galvanized a lot of African-American parents in Chicago. And this issue of school privatization has been racially divisive from the very beginning. In Milwaukee, really the pitch by the Bradley Foundation and other conservative groups when they were promoting school vouchers in order to get them through was that black kids in poor neighborhoods deserve a chance, and that it's not fair that more affluent white parents can send their kids to better schools, and that in poorer areas, kids are left in schools that are really struggling. And that there's a lot of resonance to that. So what's happened is we've got this voucher program now, and the idea was, you know, you can easily imagine it. I mean, it's a very appealing idea that a kid who has a crumbling school, who is in a neighborhood that's really stressed and poor, gets a voucher and is able to join upper-middle-class kids in a better school. And who can be against that, right? I mean, it sounds great. Well, it turns out that it's kind of a bait and switch, because in Milwaukee now, a lot of the voucher schools, a huge number of them, serve 100% voucher students, and they're not a better tier of schools. So kids are not so much getting a ticket out as they're getting, you know, kind of a cheap, profit-making entity. And the fact that these schools are set up to make a profit means that they need to save money. And the way that they make profits is by delivering less. So they hire underpaid teachers. They have very high turnover. They have cut-and-paste, very reductive, stripped-down curriculums, the three R's. It's not an enriching environment. And so what Karen Lewis is talking about is the idea that it's actually completely unfair that as a solution to inadequate resources for schools in poor areas, we're saying we need to amp up competition, we need to have these sort of stripped-down academies, and we need to hand it over to a profit-making sector where, you know, they're really delivering less in order to make money off of these kids. And I think that that's a view that a lot of folks, even early voucher proponents in Milwaukee, like Polly Williams, who is a African-American Democratic state legislator who worked with Tommy Thompson to create the voucher program, ultimately came around to say that she felt like she had been used by the right-wingers who were promoting vouchers, and that the results were not good for these low-income African-American kids who she thought really deserved something better.
Let's take a caller, Peter in Baraboo. Hello, Peter.
Thank you so much. I am a school board member up in Baraboo, also a candidate for the 81st Assembly District, and a teacher of 20 years. There is no question that the online programs which have been described by Ruth are ones that are geared toward profit and not toward children. We in Baraboo and other school districts have online learning programs and facilities under the banner of the district. Those are much more successful because they have teachers guiding students utilizing online learning, but not separate. Further, just to support what Ruth has been saying and the Progressive has been promoting, all of the research, including the most recent landmark McGraw-Hill Research Foundation study on education, which looked at the PISA scores around not only around the United States, but around the world, indicated that the best thing, the single thing that would be most important for helping students achieve higher has to do with providing ongoing training to our teachers and supporting our teachers and supporting the concept of public education, which we have built in to our Constitution here in Wisconsin and in the United States.
Yeah, Peter, thank you very much. Because we only have a little more than a minute before a news break, Ruth, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I think that that's just it. I think that there's some news. Maybe we can get into it after the break. There's a report on Rocket Ship, which is a charter school that's come in to Milwaukee, and it uses this blended model with online learning and they have teachers in the classroom. But they save money. You know, they make profits by using these online programs to replace actual teaching. And the kids they serve, who are poor kids, are the ones who most need some enrichment, some stability. They have very high teacher turnover. It's in some ways, you know, upper middle class parents are going to find either well-funded public schools or private schools for their kids because they want this enriching atmosphere. It's really wrong that we're saying that poor kids should have something else, which is a stripped down, reductive curriculum, not a lot of adults in their lives who they can count on for a long time, and so that somebody should make a profit from them.
We are talking with Ruth Conniff, editor of the Progressive magazine, which is one of the sponsors, one of the organizers of a rally to defend public education tonight at 7 o'clock at the Monona Terrace in Madison. So what do you think? Do you feel as though public schools in Wisconsin, public schools nationwide for that matter, are under attack, threatened by a movement, a privatization movement? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We will get to more of your calls about public education, the state of public education, threats to public education in just a few minutes. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. But first, John Munson joins me because listeners provide the single largest piece of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget, and we are encouraging you to make a gift to Wisconsin Public Radio right now.
And to help encourage you to make that gift, your pledge of any amount automatically enters you in a drawing for an iPad Air. So make your gift right now. Get entered in that iPad Air drawing at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Help pay for the programs that you depend on. We are looking for 52 pledges in the next 22 minutes. So make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every morning, Monday through Friday, Joy Cardine makes it sound easy. She's always so prepared, but you have no idea how hard she works to stay ready for these talk shows. It's a constant preparation mode. You're always looking at news stories and gaining information and making yourself more informed about the issues. And then she comes on the air and sounds like, I got this. Well, you know what? That hard work pays off, and you support that. You don't get a show like this anywhere else, and it's only possible pledge by pledge because you support listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Show your support right now by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, John, you certainly know what it takes to prepare for a talk show like this as John fills in for this talk show host and many others on Wisconsin Public Radio. And you also know the great deal of the tremendous work that our producers
put into
these programs. We could not do this without great producers who look for the very best guests to talk about the most timely and important and interesting issues that are out there. So thanks to Bill Martins and to Robin Cherry and to Christy Taylor and to Cynthia Schuster and to Mirka Saval and many others who help produce programs for the Joy Cardine Show, for finding great guests like Ruth Conniff, who we are talking to this hour about a very important issue, public education. So you are supporting all of that with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, now here's another idea. When you give today, you can really help us out by becoming a sustainer. As a sustaining member, there are way too many S's in that phrase. As a sustaining member, you'll give a monthly amount, say $10 or $15, that will automatically come out of your bank account or credit card. Your monthly gift will continue until you ask us to make a change.
That means that we can depend on you, and the way we depend on you, day in and day out, year in and year out. You are in control. You can change your giving at any time. It's a convenient way to give, and it's really helpful to WPR. So consider becoming a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
One of the things we hear from people, if we hear people say that WPR helps bring their families closer together. Children and parents listen together before school and on the weekends. Joy, you were talking about a listener last hour who was talking about how their kids have really improved in school because they listen to Wisconsin Public Radio every day. Spouses get together at the end of the day to talk about the stories that they heard.
Listening to Wisconsin Public Radio can be a point of connection between you and your loved ones. Your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 keeps that connection going.
And we don't charge you up front. You pay exactly what it's worth.
Oh, man, it's Pledge Drive again. I should change the station. They're not really talking to me. Someone else will pledge.
Don't change the station. Sarah, we are talking to you.
What?
Do you listen to WPR every day?
Yeah, every time I get into the car and every night when I cook dinner.
Do you rely on the news, information, entertainment that you get from WPR?
Of course I do. But you guys have people with more money who can make a big difference with their donation.
Actually, Sarah, you make a difference. Don't count yourself out. It's pledges from everyday listeners like you added together that make up the single biggest part of our budget.
Are you sure?
We are absolutely sure.
We're talking to you.
We really are talking to you. Don't make us come through the radio. Pledge now. Here's someone to tell you how.
I'm staying right here. I'm not coming through the radio, but I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson, and we are asking for your support of WPR during our spring membership drive. Let me thank so many listeners who have pledged so far this morning. Thank you if you've pledged any time during this drive or this year, for that matter. Larry and Ann from Alma say WPR is our default radio programming. We seldom listen to anything else. WPR is the best public radio in the country.
Wow, that's high praise. John in La Crosse says, I listen to WPR every day and absolutely love your programs. Even my 24-year-old son is addicted. Well, I guess if you're going to be addicted to something, being addicted to Wisconsin Public Radio is probably pretty benign as addictions go. Thank you so much.
And Deb and Shana from Madison say, we're excited about the opportunity to win an iPad and feel that donating $10 makes a difference. If people donate even $5 or $10, it can add up. Well, that's right, Deborah. Thank you so much for your pledge. Everyone who pledges this hour, anyone who pledges today, will be entered into this drawing for an iPad Air. If you're already a sustainer, a monthly giver to Wisconsin Public Radio, you are automatically entered.
And if you want to pledge $12.50 a month, that's a pledge of $150 a year, you can do that and ask for this year's artist mug illustrated by Renee Gray from Cedarburg, Wisconsin. Again, that's yours for a pledge of $12.50 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Okay, John, you can go through the radio now and encourage somebody to play.
I'll leave that to Fleming.
All right. We'll talk to you later, John Munson. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Ruth Conniff, editor of the Progressive magazine. The Progressive is among the organizers, sponsors of a rally tonight in Madison at the Monona Terrace. It is a rally to defend public education. Do you think public education is under attack, is being threatened by corporate profiteers, anti-union policies, privatization? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. Jed in Madison is with us next. Hello, Jed.
Hi there. I'd just like to make a comment and add that the conversation that we need to reclaim around education also needs to include attention to the professional culture of public schooling. Yes, there's a danger of reductive curriculums, as Ruth points out, but, you know, teachers are operating in a really extreme climate of accountability these days. Increasing uses of, you know, high-stakes standardized testing with plans for linking that to teacher assessment. And overall, that has a pretty negative effect on the professional culture. One which really needs to be a culture optimized for teachers to do their creative work. You know, when I send my kids to school, I want to be assured that their teacher is a dynamic, creative thinker who is respected for the creative work that's at the heart of good teaching. And I'm just thinking we've created a system that has shortchanged creativity, and that's just pretty disastrous. You know, it's disastrous for the system, and it's obviously disastrous for the kids. So I'd just like to hear what Ruth has to say about that.
Ruth?
Well, I think that's right, and I think where you really see the irony of this assault on public schools and this idea that we've got to turn it into a competition. We've got to get tougher on kids and teachers and schools that have fewer resources. We've got to tie teacher performance to standardized test scores. The irony of that is that some of the folks who are pushing it the hardest send their own kids to schools with a completely different model. So in Chicago, where Rahm Emanuel is pushing really hard for this school accountability program, we're closing schools in poor neighborhoods if their test scores aren't high enough. His own kids are going to the Chicago Lab School, which is the kind of environment that Jed describes. It's this very creative, enriching environment. Testing is a very tiny part of what they do at the Chicago Lab School, and it's really a model, and it's a place where upper-class people send their kids. And the same is true. It's interesting in Silicon Valley where you have people like Sheryl Sandberg, who's the CEO of Facebook, investing in the Rocket Ship Academy, which is coming into Milwaukee and was the subject of this scathing report on poor performance and a stripped-down curriculum last week. You know, these folks in Silicon Valley, there's a whole article about how they're sending their kids to Waldorf schools, which are schools where they don't use any technology at all, totally contrary to this charter school model, which is very test-driven and very intensive focus on online learning and checking boxes. So, I mean, I think if you think about it, in fact, Gordon Lafer, who wrote this report for the Economic Policy Institute on Rocket Ship and on the broader school privatization drive in Milwaukee, talks about how the Chamber of Commerce members, who are big proponents of Rocket Ship in Milwaukee, are living in neighborhoods with well-funded suburban public schools. So their own kids are going to schools that have a very, very different environment, and that there's something just fundamentally wrong about saying that wealthy kids deserve this enriching environment and poor kids don't.
Thanks very much, Jed, for the call. Julie emails, your guest doesn't speak to the excellence of some of the voucher schools. I taught at a choice Waldorf school in Milwaukee for many years, and I am still an advocate. Most Waldorf schools are private schools, but how wonderful all children can have a Waldorf education through the voucher system. Most public schools are following core curriculum. I substitute now in public schools, and it's ridiculous how the curriculum dehumanizes children in their vital development by teaching to the head only. Ruth?
Well, if most voucher kids were going to Waldorf schools, I might be singing a different tune. But the fact is, in Milwaukee, we now have mostly voucher students in schools that are run for profit, and you don't see this enriching Waldorf model. And in fact, you know, it's not enough money. The vouchers do not represent enough money to go to an expensive private school, unless it's just a credit towards your tuition. If you're a poor family, that's not how you're going to be able to use that voucher. So, you know, it's not the case that we're talking about high-quality private education when we're talking about vouchers. So I just think, you know, that's a fundamental, there's sort of a bait and switch there, and I think early on there was this sales job that vouchers were going to allow kids to get out of failing, crumbling public schools and into these high-quality private schools. Well, it turns out that that's not the case. In fact, what it represents is a resource drain from schools, public schools that are already strapped, and this creation of what Dale Schultz, a retiring Republican member of our state Senate here, describes as this whole second school system. So we've cut education funding for our public schools across the state, you know, by $800 million, a historic cut, and we're simultaneously siphoning resources out of those same schools to send to these voucher schools and these privately run charters. So we can't actually afford those two separate systems. And when you look at the quality and you look at the results on the WKCE and other measures of success of those vouchers since 1990, they've failed. That program has failed to provide a better education for kids in Milwaukee.
Emily and Marquette, you're on the air.
Hi, I live in Marquette County, a rural county. And I just want to say that the voucher system has been horrible for our county. And even though we don't have any voucher schools, basically, this whole process of defunding the schools through the cut in educational funding and then the forced cap on our property taxes has meant that we have less money for our schools. And then on top of that, each of the schools is actually losing money to the voucher system. And I know for Westfield last year, and it's on their budget page, it shows that they lost $45,000 worth of state funding that went to the voucher schools and that are not even near us.
Yeah.
And what this has done is meant we have lost teachers, we have lost aides, and in the Westfield School District, they end up cutting one of the elementary schools, a rural elementary school in a little village called Nishkoro. It was award-winning. It had great test scores. The kids were flourishing. But because of the funding cuts to that school district, it had to go. And now those kids are getting bussed.
Ruth.
Yeah, I mean, this is just it. You know, I think in Wisconsin, in the last few years, we've really seen this realization that particularly in rural areas with low enrollment, where schools are really on the edge, this setting up what Dale Schultz calls this parallel system of private education but using public funds is going to push these schools over the edge into closure. And that's why there were these hearings before the Education Committee in the Capitol Building here in Madison, jammed with teachers and parents and students from rural school districts around the state saying, look, this is going to do us in. If you create this statewide charter school system where you're taking money out of our local public school, we're not going to have that school anymore. And what that means in these smaller communities is you're taking the heart right out of their community, because the local public school, the Friday night football game, the sense of a community center, people coming together, the school musical, it's really critical. I mean, you know this from driving through little towns in Wisconsin where you see the kiosk and you see the celebration of the team and, you know, what's coming up at the school. You know, we can't afford to lose that in our rural communities in Wisconsin. And that's really what's at stake here.
Yeah, you know, I know we're almost out of time here, but I did want to have you react to recent news with Act 10. A federal appeals court recently upheld Act 10. Membership in Wisconsin's teachers' unions dropping since Act 10. Is Act 10 here to stay? Is this rally going to change anything?
Well, this rally tonight is not about overturning Act 10, although I think, you know, there is a lot of interest and pressure there. I think what we're talking about is supporting our public schools and delegitimizing the unions and making it harder, demoralizing teachers, as Judd pointed out in his call, is part of the attack on public education. So that's a really important issue. But there's also a whole raft of bills coming up in our state legislature that are just outrageously bad for public schools. You know, we're going to see the return of a bill likely in the next session that insists that 5% of Wisconsin schools be labeled failing, grading on a curve, and that they, if they get three Fs in a row, they be closed down and their operations handed over to a private charter company. And then the charter schools are held to a different standard. They get an 8-year grace period. So no matter how many Fs they get, they can't be closed until the 9th year. And you know what that's about? It's private school lobbyists pushing for that transfer of funds into their industry. So, you know, I think people need to know about this. They need to resist it, and they need to take heart from what's happened in Chicago, where communities have come together and really said no to school closures and sat in and gotten the big picture about what's happening to their schools and pushed back. And I think that there's a real opportunity for that to happen in Wisconsin on all of these issues.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Ruth Conniff, editor of the Progressive Magazine, one of the organizers of tonight's rally to defend public education. The rally is taking place tonight at 7 at the Monona Terrace in Madison. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson, and we have a goal, John. We have a goal of 55 pledges, and we need 45 more during this hour in support of Wisconsin Public Radio programming.
It's always good to have lofty goals,
yes,
Joy, and we have a lofty goal this hour. So, but here's some added incentive. When you pledge today, you'll be entered in a drawing for an iPad Air. That's with your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I certainly hope that you enjoyed our conversation about public education and the threats that our guest sees facing public education. And it's an example of the important conversations that we try to have every single day on this show.
Well, now what we're asking you to do is to take just a couple of minutes to make hours like this and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Consider sharing your appreciation of the lifelong learning that you get from WPR by making a leadership gift of $100 a month. Your gift of $1,200 a year will provide an important piece of funding for the programs you rely on. Know, though, that a gift of any amount is welcome right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio wakes me up every morning. Mostly I just enjoy the morning programming and the afternoon programming. I became a sustaining member because I felt so guilty with all the pledge drives, because they're so logical and they're so persistent. It's crucial that we have people support it so we don't lose it. I'm Sarah from Wausau. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yes, we are persistent. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson, asking for your support. Your gift of any amount will help support the programming that you value.
Persistent and logical makes it sound like the Borg. Resistance is futile. Well, you know, giving to WPR is easy. All we need is your name, contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay it.
Make a one-time gift, or better yet, start automatic sustaining donations directly from your bank account. You choose how to give, and then you do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The Wisconsin idea. You know, when you support Wisconsin Public Radio, that's what you're supporting, the idea that we spread the resources of the university across the entire state. Not every state has such an idea, and not every state has the high-quality programs you enjoy every day on WPR.
In fact, not every state has an ideas network. WPR is one of the great things about Wisconsin. It's something to take pride in. Join forces with many other Wisconsinites right now and make a contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
44 pledges in the next couple of minutes. Yours could be the next one. Thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Lena from Wheeler says, WPR is the only radio station that we listen to. Well, if WPR is your favorite radio station, that's a good sign that you should make a pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Remember, as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you will be entered in a drawing for an iPad Air. Boy, that'd be a cool thing to have. Sustainers, we've got you covered. You're automatically entered.
I love this. Nancy from Verona pledged this hour, and she says, powered by the people of Wisconsin. I love WPR.
That sounds like a bumper sticker. We should get the marketing department on that.
Or a song, powered by the people. You can help that power by making your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson. Thank you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.